I say thank you to each person who's taken part tonight. Our hearts have been blessed, encouraged, and challenged. And we do pray the Lord will continue to bless the work of God out there in Uganda, and that opportunities will arise that others of this congregation will be able to go out to the mission field and see what the Lord is doing with their own eyes and be used of the Lord. Can you please turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, as we bring our time to a close tonight? I want to read a very, very familiar passage of the Word of God, but it's a word that the Lord has laid upon my heart for tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, six verses, beginning at verse number 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the scripture to hearts tonight. Speak by thy Spirit. Empty me of self and sin and give me help by the infilling of thy Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever we make plans, there's always a mix of apprehension, excitement, and anticipation about what lies ahead. Just on Thursday night past, as our session met together, as we always do, having made plans, we prayed over those plans, that the Lord would bless our church in the days that lie ahead, that the Lord would be honored in the plans that we feel he's led us to set in place, and that he would continue to guide us to make plans for the future. People are always making plans. You see it every single day. You see people stopping at the window of a travel agent to look at the offers. What are they doing? They're making plans. You see people going into a bank to lodge money or take it out. What are they doing? They're making plans for the future or preparing for the plans for the future. You see people studying, going to school. What are they doing? They're preparing, they're making plans for the future. Careful planning's wise. Prayer ought to be a major factor in the plans of God's people. We are reminded that the Lord has promised to guide his people, and James 4 verse 15 tells us that our attitude as we plan should be, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. How many plans have we made and just assumed that they will work out? How many times have we written something down in a diary and just assumed that will definitely happen? But our attitude should always be, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In this passage, we read of a man who made plans for the future. They weren't sinful plans, and they weren't unrealistic plans. This was a hard-working man who was enjoying the reward of his labor. He wanted to expand and grow his business, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. And as people looked outwardly, they would have thought, there's a successful man, a hard-working man, a healthy man, a man who's going to do great things in the days that lie ahead. Whatever plans he makes are going to come to fruition because this is a man who is able. But the Lord looks in the heart. And God revealed what this man truly was. God is a revealer of the hearts of men. And while people might look at you tonight and make assumptions about you based maybe on how you look or the job you do or how you've behaved in this service tonight, the Lord truly only knows your heart. Only the Lord truly knows where you stand tonight. I wonder, as the Lord looks upon you, what does that look reveal? What does God say about you tonight? I want us to look at verse 20 as we bring our time to a close. God said unto him, Thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Three simple thoughts. We have the declaration of the Lord, thou fool. Thou fool. Now why was he a fool? Well, he was a fool because of his focus. He was only focused on temporal things. He was only focused on those things he could see and touch. He was only focused on what he could get for himself physically. But he was also a fool because of his failures. Because of his failures. Because he had failed to prepare. He had so much in life, but he had nothing for eternity. He had done much for his body and for living for many years, but absolutely nothing for his soul. Is that you tonight? Have you made preparation as if you're going to live for another 2, 3, 4, 5 decades? There are many people tonight, and I could go to you and I say, could you give me £500? And you'd go straight to your bank and get that money out. It wouldn't cost you a thought. You've made your preparation financially for the future. But while you've all your money in the bank, your soul is lost in sin. You've made no preparation for death. You've made no preparation for eternity. You've not prepared to meet your God. Yes, you've things in life. This man failed to prepare. It does not matter what you possess in this life if you fail to prepare to meet God. It doesn't matter if you've gained the greatest position in this land. It doesn't matter if you have billions in your bank. It doesn't matter what people think about you, the job you do, the education you have, the family you have. If you have failed to prepare to meet your God, all those things count for nothing. But not only had this man failed to prepare, he'd also failed to care. And the sinner tonight in this meeting, those who are not saved, you have failed to care. This man failed to care about his Creator. He didn't care about God. He took the health God gave him. He took the ability God gave him, the strength, the breath in the body, the blood flowing through the veins, all of those things, gifts from God. He took them, but he didn't care about God. What does God require of me? He never asked that question. All he was interested in was what he could get for himself. He didn't care about death. It didn't cost him a thought. As far as he was concerned, his plans were made, and he was going to live for that time, and he was going to do what he wanted to do. He didn't care about dying. He didn't care about eternity. He was so focused in this world. He didn't care about his soul. He was so focused on his body. He didn't care about his sin. That life lived without God, he didn't care about it because he never confessed it. He never dealt with it. It didn't bother him. It cost him no thought at all. But as I thought about this, now the Bible doesn't tell us if this man had a family. We don't know this. But the reality is the sinner doesn't truly even care about their family. Because their mothers and fathers in this world today, and they're living in sin. And they're walking toward hell. And their children are following in their footsteps. They're influencing their friends in the things that are sinful and wrong in this world. And maybe there's someone tonight in this meeting, and you're leading your family to hell. And you say you love them, and you say you care for them. But you continue on in your sin, living as if there is no God. Living as if there's nothing you need to do other than to enjoy this life. This man failed to prepare. This man failed to care. We could call him the fool on the farm. But you know what? There are many other fools. There's a fool in the school, the fool in the factory, the fool in the shop, the fool in the church. People sitting in church with no thought of God. People sitting in church failing to prepare. People sitting in church failing to care. We're looking at the fool in the farm, but am I speaking to the fool in God's house tonight? Are you sitting without Christ? Are you sitting in your sin? Not so much as concerned about what the future would hold. We thought about the declaration of the Lord. Let's think, secondly, about the conclusion of life with the words in verse 20, "Thy soul shall be required of thee." Thy soul shall be required of thee. There is, firstly, here the reality. We cannot live forever. You can't live forever. There comes a time whenever the heart stops beating, when the oxygen stops entering into the body. When that body lies lifeless, what has happened? Death has come. That moment that God has ordained, that boundary that you cannot pass, has come. And the soul leaves the body. And this is all around us. We have read Sunday after Sunday of the names of people who have died. We see the hearses on the roads. We see the graveyards filling. We see people in mourning. We see hospitals full. We see people waiting to see how ill they are. That's a reality that we have to face tonight. You cannot live forever on this earth. But not only is it a reality, it's also a reminder. Because if you actually look at verse 20, it says, "Thou fool, this night." This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And the reminder is that we may be closer to the end than we would dare imagine. This night, this man was well. He was healthy. How do I know that? Because he had made plans to work. He wasn't physically restricted. He was able to get up and do these things, and he had every intention of getting up the next morning and doing the plan that he had set out to do. Little did he know that this night he would be in eternity. This night he would be in hell. And it is possible that there's someone sitting in this meeting. And this night your soul will be required of you. It is possible. "Oh, but preacher, I'm healthy." So was this man. "But preacher, I have my plans made." So was this man. "But preacher, I'm able to do all these things." So was this man. But this night, his soul was required of him. You see, the return of the soul to the one who gave it cannot be escaped. And one day you'll stand before God. And if you're a Christian, that's a wonderful thing, because it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Whenever you die and you stand before God, it will be a time of blessing. It will be a time of reward. But sinner, you will be damned. You will be punished, cast out of the presence of God, to know the wrath of God upon you, to go into a place of absolute hopelessness. And you're sitting in church tonight with the knowledge that you're going to that place right now. Only a fool will continue any further. We thought about the declaration of the Lord, "Thou fool." We've thought about the conclusion of life. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." But finally, think about the emptiness of his loss, the greatness of his loss. "Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You see, I want you to listen to this. You take nothing out of this world. When the soul leaves the body, you take nothing. You don't take your house. You don't take your money. You don't take your family. You don't take your car. You don't take anything. You don't even take your body. This body that you're in is simply a tabernacle, a tent for your soul to dwell in for a little while. Even this body will be left behind when your soul goes into eternity. And the scripture and the Savior highlights that there were things that this man was more interested in than his soul. He said, "Whose shall those things be?" Those things that he lived for. Those things that he worked for. that he shed blood and sweat and tears for? Who are those things going to be? Who's the business going to belong to after you're gone? Who's the money going to after you've gone? The success after you've gone? And they're people, and they're living for these things in life. That's all they're interested in. That's all they think about morning, noon, and night. They eat, drink, sleep, wake, and that's all they're interested in. That's their focus. That's their goal. That's their purpose. If your purpose in life is not Christ, you've got the wrong one. Because whatever it is, you're going to leave it behind. What are the things that are keeping you from Christ tonight? What are those things that the Lord Jesus would speak of in this verse that you're so taken up with, you've neglected to prepare to meet God? What are the things that you're so interested in tonight? What are the things that are so precious to you that you're not willing to give up or set aside for a little while to think about your soul? What are they? Because you'll leave them behind. And when you are in hell, those things will make hell intolerable. They will terrorize your mind. You know why? Because you thought that was your purpose in life. Those things you spent your time on. Those things you gave yourself to. You thought this is what life is about. This is the purpose of life. This is the fulfillment of life. And you realize those very things damned your soul. You were so taken up with them, you neglected to prepare to meet the Lord. I read this poem this week, in the glare of earthly pleasure, in the fight for earthly treasure, mid your blessings without measure, have you forgotten God? While his bounties you're accepting, are you his commands neglecting? And his call to you rejecting, have you forgotten God? See the shades of night appalling, on the pathway now are falling. Hear you not the voices calling, have you forgotten God? Have you left God out of your life? Are you living as if there's no tomorrow, or as if there is no death? Are you living as if there is no God? Are you living as if you're not answerable? Are you living with everything prepared for life but nothing for eternity? I say to you on the authority of Scripture, thou fool. Because everything you hold will be left behind. What do you need to do? You need to confess before God how foolish you've been. Dear sinner, tonight you need to come before God and say, Lord, I've lived my life without you. And that's wrong and that's sinful. And I know I deserve hell and I know that's the place I'm going to. But I pray that through the blood of Jesus Christ, I will be cleansed tonight. I pray you'll accept me tonight. I pray you'll save me tonight. And that I'll live for spiritual things. And that's exactly why Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood to save us from our sin. Is there a man or a woman, a boy or a girl tonight, and you have to confess before God you're a fool? You have to confess that you've wasted your life. You have to confess that if you continue on the road you're traveling, you will be in hell. I want to tell you there's a Savior. If you will call upon him, he will save you thoroughly from your sin. Make you his child tonight. And you'll not leave here as a fool. You'll leave here as a son, a daughter of the living God. Accepted in the beloved, cleansed by the blood, saved. Saved from hell. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. And let's be still in this moment. Let's remember the Lord is speaking. Let's remember God has brought you here tonight. And there are men and women and young people have yet to come to Christ. And therefore, I simply appeal to you, dear man, dear woman, dear boy, dear girl, don't be a fool any longer. Don't continue in your sin. Jesus died to save sinners, and therefore he can save you tonight. But you must come. You must come confessing your sin and confessing your need. Because if you fail to prepare to meet God, then not only will you be in hell, but everything you lived for was a waste of time. Mom or dad, where are you leading your family tonight? If they follow in your footsteps, where will they end up? If God is speaking to you tonight, I urge you to call upon him. I'll be at the door at the end, and if you wish to speak to me, then please let that be known. We'll go someplace privately and open the Word of God. Not that I can save you, but I want to show you how you can be saved. Present to you the way of salvation. That you'll know tonight the joy of sins forgiven. Friend, all you need to do is call where you're sitting. We're not going to sing the song, but I'm simply, with her head bowed and her eyes closed, going to quote, "Where will you spend eternity?" This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your joyous answer be saved. Saved throughout all eternity. May God give you grace to call. Father, we thank thee for what has taken place in our meeting tonight. We thank thee for the reports that have been presented. We thank thee for the work that has been completed. We thank thee for that supernatural power you gave to the team to complete the task. And we rejoice in answers to prayer in the salvation of two precious souls. Remember our dear sister Noreen as she would labor for the Lord over there. Remember the Carscadden family as they make their final preparations to go to that land. And, O Lord, bless this team. We know that whenever a work is done for the Lord, the devil will be up and about, seeking to discourage, seeking, Lord, to devour. But we pray you'll cover them afresh in the precious blood and give them joy as they continue to serve the Lord here. And, Lord, we do pray that in days that lie ahead, we will hear of much accomplished for the kingdom over there in Uganda and across the world, as God's people go at his command and take the word to the lost. But Lord, in this building tonight, there are those that are not ready to meet thee. They're living for life on this earth, and they're not ready for eternity. Lord, don't allow them to leave tonight without Christ. Lord, work in hearts tonight. Surely, it's time for thee to move. Lord, be pleased to see it for thy glory. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.